changed in the world over the last 53 years, I guess, of my life. I remember being a kid and, of course, having that favorite television show that you have to absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, watch when it came on, because if you missed an episode, that was it. You weren't going to get to see that episode again. If you were lucky, it would be picked up in syndication and you might get to see a rerun. But you better catch it the first time, or else you were going to be just out for that week. There wasn't the availability to binge watch things on Netflix. Which I'll say I have a love-hate relationship with, because sometimes you'll find a new program and you just think, well, this is just the neatest thing ever. And you watch one, and there's that timer that runs in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen that just gives you like 5 seconds to make up your mind before it plays the next one. And it's just sort of saying, surely you can just sit still for one more 45-minute episode. And unless you hit that button that says stop, it's going to start the episode. And then you stop. You have to sit there. You have to watch it, right? That was the rules. But as a kid, obviously, if you missed something, it was just gone. You didn't get a second chance. Maybe you get to see a rerun if you were lucky. It's ironic because today's gospel is a rerun. It's Peter having reruns in his life. Jesus comes and Peter has been out fishing. And of course, Peter wasn't fishing for quite a while because he was busy following Jesus and being a disciple. He'd been a fisherman, but that wasn't what he'd been doing recently. But not knowing what else to do with himself, what do you do when you are the follower of a Messiah and the Messiah gets killed off? Now you go back to your old job. So he went back to fishing. But he wasn't having a very good time. They'd been out all night long and had caught nothing. If you remember right, this is how Peter's story in the Bible begins. He is a fisherman. He is out. He's been out all night long, and he has caught nothing. And Jesus comes and says to Peter in his calling story, put out into deep water, let your nets down, and then you will catch fish. And he does. He fills the boat up so much it's about to be swamped. Well, now we have a rerun. Peter's been out. He's been fishing. And Jesus comes along and says, child, do you have any fish in your boat? Peter says, not a one. What a terrible night. Jesus says, why don't you try the other side of the boat? And of course, this being the Gospel of John, John has to remind you that he's Jesus' favorite. So he says, the disciple that Jesus loved said to Peter, that's got to be Jesus. He's John. And so Peter lets the net down and they just fill the net with fish. And they come in shore. It's a rerun. This is how Peter was called. And then Jesus does this amazing, well, actually kind of does two amazing things. Of all of the things that we might imagine God Almighty doing, God Almighty, the Son, the reason that all of existence has come into being, as the Gospel of John teaches us, there was nothing that was made that did not come through Jesus, and everything that was made has come through Jesus. And Jesus, Almighty God, is cooking breakfast. That's kind of an amazing concept if you think about it. How many people can say, yes, I met God. He makes a lovely brunch. But that's what he's doing. Jesus is cooking them some breakfast. Because it's been a long night and they're hungry. Jesus is probably a little hungry himself. So he cooks them some fish and they're all on pins and needles. What is Jesus going to say? What is he going to do? What is the risen Messiah going to ask? And then he does another rerun with Peter. He says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, well, yes, you know I love you. He says, feed my sheep. He says, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, well, of course, you know that I love you. Tend my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Peter's getting a little miffed at this point. He's like, I think I've already answered this question twice. You know everything, so obviously you know that I love you. And Jesus says, love my sheep. It was a rerun. See, Simon Peter had the opportunity three times over before Jesus died to deny Jesus. Do you know this Jesus? No, I don't know. Surely you're a Galilean, you must know this Jesus. No, I don't know this man at all. I thought I saw you with Jesus. Aren't you one of his disciples? I don't know this man. He denied Jesus 3 times. So Jesus gives him another chance. Jesus gives him a rerun. He gets a second run at not denying Christ. He does a better job with it the second time through, I gotta say. Jesus says, "Do you love me?" And each time Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I will." And Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times, confesses Jesus 3 times. I think in life sometimes we believe that we get one shot at this. We get one shot at making a relationship right. We get one shot at true love. And at least that's what the movies tell us. We get one shot at being right with God. We get one shot at forgiveness. We get one shot. That's not what the scriptures teach us at all. Jesus, over and over again, is a God who gives second chances. God who's not opposed to the occasional rerun. And I'm going to be honest, I feel like most human life is nothing but reruns. Because the things that we do wrong, the things that we make mistakes at, the sins that we commit, are usually things we've done wrong before, made mistakes at before, sins that we've committed before. You might think that at some point God would shrug his shoulders and say, "Look, I've already told you not to do that. I've already forgiven you once because you did it. Stop doing it or I'm going to stop forgiving you for it." That's not what the scriptures teach us at all. That's an amazing thing. That God's grace is sufficient to provide for us forgiveness of our sins. To provide second chances and third chances and 275th chances and 6,937,000th chances. How many ever chances your life requires? God's willing to play the rerun over again. God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, who's willing to cook your breakfast, is willing to forgive your sin, is willing to give you another try, another chance, another opportunity. Maybe this time, instead of denying, you'll say, "Yes, Lord, of course I love you." And we know that this was not just a temporary change of heart for Peter, but Peter went on to serve God's church and to be the leader of the church in Jerusalem. It does not mean that Peter became perfect. We read about Paul's conversion today, which is another marvelous, marvelous second chance. One who has spent his life being a jealously zealous Jew, who becomes a persecutor of the Christian church, that God gives a second chance to in order that he might become the evangelist to the Gentiles. God gives this incredible chance to save Paul. And Paul and Peter, when they get together, you'd think that they would be just really, really good friends. But what the scriptures teach us is that Paul has to correct Peter repeatedly for favoring the Jewish Christians over the Gentile Christians. So even in Peter's discipleship, he wasn't perfect. We're not perfect. We're perfecting. God's Holy Spirit is moving within us and changing us and growing us and making us more and more into the image of God. But none of us are complete, nor will any of us ever in our lives be done. Fortunately, at no point in our lives will God ever be finished giving us a second chance. A second chance to confess. A second chance to be fed. A second chance to renew. A second chance to turn. And a second chance to live. This is the magnificent rerun that is the life of